Chapter 9. Bread for the Prisoners. The wedding cake models were still there in the window, and the bakery was clean, as always. The smell of cinnamon from the morning's doughnuts was strong, and there was even a hint of almonds starting to bake. But Rennie felt sadness mixed with her excitement when she walked in the next day to start her breadsticks. "Are you sure you want to do this?" Rick asked. It annoyed her that he had doubts. But still, all of her brothers, he was her favorite. So she told herself he was just showing concern. Yes, she looked up at him with a serious smile. It saddened her that he wasn't Papa. He was taller and thinner than Papa, and his hair was darker because Papa's was gray. And he didn't look right in Papa's apron, or smell right with Papa's bread smells. And, of course, he didn't tease the way Papa teased or hug the way Papa hugged. He wanted to work extra hard to make up for the heiress of her father. But Rick seemed to be waiting for an explanation. So she said, "We need money." "Yeah," he said thoughtfully, "but we're doing okay. You're just a kid. You shouldn't worry about that." "I want to." She didn't tell him how she wanted to make Papa proud of her, or how useless she felt knowing Papa was interned, a word she put into her head and not forgotten. And there was nothing she could do about it, or how tired she was of people treating her like a baby, or how she just didn't look right in Papa's apron. She thought, though, that it would be okay having Rick teach her to make bread, since he hadn't been begging her for years to do it, as Papa had been. "Is it hard?" she asked. "No, it's easy. But look, Rennie, why do you think people will buy your breadsticks? After all, there's not much money around, and the people who are still our friends buy bread from the bakery." "Because breadsticks are different from ordinary bread, and they'll be pretty. I'm going to tie them in ribbons from Mama's sewing book." "Okay," Rick sighed. "Let's get started." He took Rennie to the back kitchen, where ovens lined one wall and flour-covered tables filled almost the entire space. Heat from the ovens poured into the room, but a ceiling fan spread it around, and Rennie didn't think she'd get too hot. Rick got her a bowl full of flour and some yeast and water. Rennie was worried about making bread. She had watched Papa knead the dough lots of times. He would roll up his sleeves and she could see the muscles in his arms ripple, and that's why she decided it was men's work. She was certain she couldn't keep doing it for the whole long time that Papa did. Rick turned on the faucet. "First," he said as he held his fingers under the running water to check the temperature, "you have to start the yeast. You put it in water that's just a few degrees warmer than you are. The water has to be warm or the yeast won't rise, but not too warm or you'll kill it. It's like it's alive." "I know, Papa told me." "Then maybe you don't need me," she grimaced. She supposed she'd better be nice. "I guess I do," she said, and Rick showed her how to test the water temperature by running her wrist under the faucet. When it was correct, she ran 2 cups of it and sprinkled in the yeast and salt. She pulled up a stool and rested her hands and chin on the countertop while she watched the beads of yeast at the bottom of the cup get slowly bigger and softer looking, until they turned into a bubbly mush and floated to the top of the water. "I think it's ready, Rick," she called, and she started her mixing the flour and water in a bowl until they were well blended together. Then he had her turn them out onto the floured counter top to start kneading. Gingerly, she started pushing the dough, then harder. Soon she was rolling it under the cup of her hand, back and forth, toward her and away, slowly, gently, soothingly. She didn't really need muscles to do it. Rick watched her for a moment. "You've got a good touch," he said, but soon she was ready to quit. "When can I stop?" she started asking every few seconds. "Not yet," he'd say. "I'm Papa making bread for the prisoners." Finally, the dough was ready to bake. She picked it apart, rolled it into smooth balls, and then into snakes as if it were clay. She lined the snakes up on a baking sheet. They were different sizes. She bunched them all together, kneaded a few more times, and did the sticks again. She placed them on the sheet beside each other, perfectly, with a loud sigh for each stick. "I'm so good, they'll send me home." "You certainly are an impatient little monkey," Rick teased her as he put the dough sticks in the oven. At that, her face grew as hot as the oven, and she determined she'd show no more signs of complaint. "It's good I don't like it. It keeps me brave like Papa. We'll both keep smiling and he'll come home." For 20 minutes, she wandered around the kitchen, breathing in the warm bread smells that makes people love bakeries. She peeked into barrels of silky-looking icing sugar and smooth, oval almonds, tempted to touch, but knowing she couldn't. They were bins of Blum raisins and a refrigerator filled with milk and butter and fresh strawberries and rhubarb that would be turned into pies before the day was out. There was a chocolate pie too, like the last one Papa sold to Julie. "But I won't think of that. I'll be happy like Papa when he's in the bakery." She had a collection of ribbons from home. When the breadsticks were baked and cooled, she gathered them in fours, crusty brown and smooth, and tied them with bows. She had 3 bunches with pink ribbons, 4 with blue, 2 yellows, a green, and a 2 purple. A rainbow's dozen. She thought she'd had a lot more than that, but for the first day, that was okay. They were beautiful. They'd sell quickly, and tomorrow she could make twice as many. "Wonderful," Rick exclaimed. The sun seemed to shine from Rennie's face. She loaded the breadsticks gently into a paper bag and headed out into the neighborhood.